good afternoon and good evening to everybody tuning in to This Is My Story. I'm Claire Longdon, an IT director for Kellogg Europe. I also volunteer at the LEAD Network, working specifically on the Digital Chapter Committee. So the LEAD Chapter, for those of you who aren't familiar, is still fairly new. It was created earlier last year in 2022. And the intention is really to help women to grow their careers successfully in digital, to help them to join, thrive and lead in the industry. It's a really important area. You know, we all know there's been huge advances in gender inclusivity over the last couple of decades or so, but we are still behind the curve in digital. There are a ton of different statistics and reports out there. They'll tell you that, you know, typically there's less than 30% of roles in technology filled by women. And in some cases, I've seen stats closer to 20%. So there is definitely a lot more work to do to achieve parity. So over the next few months, we're going to be talking to several brilliant people in the technology arena. We're hoping to learn from their personal experiences and provide some advice for women out there who are either in the technology industry already or potentially looking to forge out a career in that space. So today I'm delighted to have Leslie Salmon here in the studio. Leslie's been the global CIO and senior vice president for the international giant Kellogg's since 2019. Only 19% of Fortune 500 companies have a female CIO, so we're definitely the exception at Kellogg, not the norm. Throughout her career, Leslie's not only been passionate about creating value for businesses through great technology solutions, but she's also been a really active leader and ally in equity, diversity and inclusion, amplifying her voice to support women in technology. She's the executive sponsor of the K Pride and Allies Business Employee Resource Group, which advocates for equality for LGBTQ plus communities around the world. Working with Leslie, I know from personal experience, she's a really inspiring leader who believes there is a place at the keyboard for everyone.
Thank you, Claire.
So Leslie, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself personally and your career so far?
I'm a regular girl from Wigan. I've always lived in Wigan and I still live there. And I had a very regular working class upbringing. My dad was a milkman. My mum worked in a food processing factory. I left school at 18 after totally messing up my A-levels.
Don't believe that.
I worked really hard, but I just didn't do very well. And I got a clerical job. 12 months in, I'd moved into a role in IT in United Biscuits. And here I am, 30 years on, as the global CIO of Kellogg. And I kind of pinch myself every day around the journey that I've had.
Yeah. And you really never lived anywhere other than Wigan. Is that true?
No, honestly, I didn't go to university, so I never moved away from home. I've always travelled for work, so live in Wigan, always travelled, whether it's travelling around the UK, in Kellogg, from a European perspective, and you know, more globally in this current role. But my home has always been the UK, and I did have a hang-up about that for a little while, because when you're working in business and, you know, you go to events and people introduce themselves, and I'm like, well, I'm Leslie from Wigan. And other people would say, oh, you know, I'm Jonathan, and I lived in China for 5 years, and I went to Harvard University, and, you know, I speak five different languages, and I'm like, okay, I'm Leslie from Wigan. But my support network is in Wigan, so by the time I had a family, it was where my support network was. I wasn't going to disrupt my family and move my son into different schools. I was the one that did the sacrifice, if you like, from a travel perspective and be away from home. So yeah, really, honestly, I have never lived anywhere other than in sunny Wigan.
It proves you can be as successful as you, right, without necessarily having to pursue an international career.
You can, and I'm not saying don't do that. You know, it's hugely successful for a lot of people. And, you know, travel's amazing, and it, you know, opens your eyes to completely different cultures. And I think for some families, it would work. It just wasn't the thing that I wanted to do for my family. So, yeah, it does prove, and again, the exception, and the exception in so many ways, the exception rather than the rule, that you can buck the trend if you work hard enough, put your mind to it, and you're determined.
And you mentioned you got into a career in your career sort of a year in. What kind of inspired you? What led you to that role?
So, full transparency, I left college at 18, thought I was in love and I just wanted to get married and settle down and have a family. And then a couple of months in to my clerical role, which was in accounts receivable, so I was receiving checks in the post a long time ago when we received checks, and stamping the checks, putting them into a system, and kind of within 2 weeks I was very proficient at receiving checks. So a couple of months into that and I realised, oh, maybe there's more to life. And a job came up. I remember the first job that I applied for in IT was in EDI, so electronic data interchange, very, very new, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So I went for the interview to be an EDI coordinator. In the interview, they said, so what do you know about EDI? I said, well, I know it stands for electronic data interchange. And they kind of, you know, they waited. Yeah. And I'd done no more research. So that was a big learning for me, research, what the job's all about. So I didn't get that job. But then soon after, another role came up in computer operations. So I did some research. I spoke to some of the people that worked in computer operations. And I got it. I didn't think I would. There's a diversity story in there.
Okay.
But that was that really, that was really where I first embarked on a career in technology. And it was because I'd done computer studies at school that I knew I could do it.
Did you always think then, the fact that you did it at school, that it was something you were good at, you were interested in?
You know, I was really good. I got an A in my computer studies GCSE. And if I look back now, so my coursework for computer studies, and it's only when you look back, isn't it? Goodness me, hindsight's a wonderful thing. So just cast your mind back that far. I created an online holiday booking database.
No, wow.
Honest to goodness. Now, if I'd stuck with that,
you'd have been a billionaire.
My life would have taken a very different path. I think I'm super happy where I am. I'm glad I did. No, I didn't. I didn't always think I'd have a career in computer studies, but I enjoyed it. It was probably one of the few things at school I really did enjoy.
So you referenced there's a diversity or a story. Just tell me a bit about that.
So in my interview for trainee computer operator, working shifts, so two 12-hour days, two 12-hour nights, 4 days off. In the interview, one of the guys said to me, you know, Leslie, even the men find these shifts very difficult.
Wow.
So I said, my dad's a milkman and I got up at 3 a.m. every morning in my school holidays. I don't think these shifts will be a problem for me. A day later, they phoned me and said they'd like to offer me the job. So that was really my first experience of what I perceived as discrimination. I actually wasn't discriminated. It didn't hold me back from getting the job, but the way it made me feel at that point in time,
I was conscious of it,
which I really hadn't been until that point in time, because I'd grown up believing and being told and in an environment where I could be anything that I wanted to be.
Throughout your career in technology then, what would you say have been some of the biggest challenges you've had specifically as a female? Have you got any experiences you could share?
I didn't realise for a long time that I missed being surrounded by other like-minded females, because I was in a male world. You know, we talked about the percentages and like only 20-30% of female representation in IT. I think it was less 30 years ago. It certainly felt like it was less 30 years ago. So, you know, constantly surrounded from a social environment with men. And then the other thing, and I learned to use this to my advantage, people are going to remember you, because so often you are the only female in a meeting, at a conference, on a project. So people are going to remember you. Use it as much as you can to your advantage.
And how do you feel that things have changed? You know, I referenced, you know, earlier the fact that, you know, there's been a lot of advances, right, around gender parity in general in the last couple of decades. So specifically within technology, how has it changed?
I just think there's more awareness now that the world is an equal place. The world has to be an equal place. Like the example that I gave in my interview, that would just never happen now. So I think it's education around allowing people to live the lives that they want to live. That's a big part of it. And then a little bit of representation. So, you know, there's gradually more females in the industry, so representation helps. And the other thing that we do in Kellogg, have people share their stories and not just gender stories, but all sorts of diversity. And goodness me, they're so powerful.
So it's been a male-dominated culture in the most part. How have you managed to stay true to yourself?
So I would say I'm back to being true to myself now. I think I probably lost myself for about 5 or 6 years when I worked for a company that had a very, very male-dominated culture, not just in IT. It was a very male-dominated culture. And I'm a big fan of a psychometric tool called Insights, and I love it. I think it's brilliant. It gives some great insights around how you operate as a person and how you operate as part of a team. And I quite liked what it said about me and I, you know, the development areas I worked really hard on. And then I worked for this company, really male-dominated company, for about 6 years. And I did Insights 4 years in. And I really didn't like what I read about myself. So I've got to step out of this environment. And I did, and I stepped out. I stepped into a smaller company where I found myself again. And then I came to Kellogg. I've been at Kellogg for 9 years now. And I think I'm absolutely as true to myself as I've ever been now. I can be me 100%, lead with empathy, lead with a people first approach and philosophy.
I remember when we had our first one-to-one when I first joined Kellogg's IT department, and one of the things you said to me, actually, you may not remember, was some advice I'll give you, Claire: stay authentic to your true self, and you know, that's when you'll do your best work and be your most kind of happy. So talking a little bit more about gender equality then, you know, if you could do one thing to advance gender equality right now, kind of what would that be if you could click your fingers?
I think we have to promote STEM subjects, so science, technology, engineering, maths, in schools more. So if we don't fix the root of educating people in STEM, setting them up with the best chance of success for a future career, then we're not going to move the needle. So if I could click my fingers, it would be almost making STEM technology of some description mandatory in schools, because girls don't see other girls going into computer science, and therefore they stick with the norm.
Do you think that's it? I was going to ask you, what's your view on the driver behind those awful statistics?
I think it's representation, even down at schools, Claire.
Yeah.
Very similar to in universities. And we did a session at a local school. And yeah, just from talking to the girls, they want to be where the other girls are. And it takes a very brave 11, 12, 13-year-old to say, I'm gonna do something different to the norm. So I think we need to work hard to make it the norm. I mean, that's one reason. I'm sure there's a million and one reasons, but I think it's a big part of it.
The reason we're doing this today is all around how do we role model females in the industry? And it's so important that if you can see, you can be. You know, we as Kellogg are working with schools, right? And it's something that as organisations we can really help step into, albeit it's a societal problem.
Yep.
So it's something that we need to solve together. So we've talked a little bit around some of the stuff we've done at Kellogg around ED&I, specifically around gender. Any other examples of progress that's been made in recent years?
So one of the things that we do, and this is not unique to Kellogg, but I think it's really, really important, is that we measure statistics around diversity of all kinds, including gender. I live for the day when we don't have to measure diversity. Yeah. Because it isn't a tick box exercise, but there is a saying, isn't there? What you measure, you can improve, you can change. So measurement is really, really important. So from an IT perspective in Kellogg, industry average, you already talked about some of the industry average numbers. From an IT perspective in Kellogg, we're around about 36% female representation. So still 14% short of 50%, but it's better than industry average. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen by accident. That happens through lots of different strategies that we put in place. So for example, making sure we've got diverse slates of candidates. We will always choose the best candidate for a role, but if there isn't a woman on a slate for a job, it's definitely not going to be a woman that gets put into that job. Making sure we've got mixed diverse interview panels. Unconscious bias around how you interact with people depending on the diversity of background. So making sure we've got diverse interview panels. There's always a woman if we're interviewing
It's all about intentionality, I guess.
Totally. Visual intentionality, unconscious intentionality, how you relate to people. You've got to see it to be it. All of those things come into play. And then the other thing that we've done in Kellogg, and you're a living example of this, Claire, is encourage people from other functions to consider a career in technology. Some of our most amazing technologists in IT have come from other functions,
yeah,
which maybe don't have the same gender diversity challenges that IT does. So, yeah, you know, you're from a sales background.
Correct, yeah. Only been in IT for getting on for 2 years now, which it's mad. It doesn't feel that long, but
it's fantastic. And, yeah, and you know, I think if you've got a curiosity, yeah, around technology and wanting to learn, you come with a whole heap of business acumen and bring a different perspective to the IT function, because technology is no longer the sole remit of IT. Technology is ubiquitous.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Everybody uses technology. Everybody uses numbers. You know, finance is everywhere. It's kind of,
yeah.
So we can take people from different disciplines and bring them into IT. So lots of different, very deliberate, small, you might not even notice them, but if you're deliberate about them, they add up to helping to create an environment, yeah, which is accessible to everybody.
And I love that idea of, you know, there is no one route into technology, right? There are multiple different ways. And I think from personal experience, as you referenced, technology is much more accessible, I think, than perhaps it was in the past. And it's integrated into every part of the business. Everybody needs to be a technologist and needs to be able to operate in that world.
If
you work in business today, right?
It takes a ton of courage. You've got to back yourself.
Yeah, it definitely does, but equally opens up a whole world of new opportunity. So going back to you personally and your career, what's been like the most rewarding part of your career, would you say?
You know, people are the most rewarding part of my career. Anytime I help people to grow and develop and understand what their potential is, that's what I find most rewarding. You know, I talk about really being my authentic self now. That's what this position enables me to do. I think the more senior you get as a leader, the more you're able to do that. In fact, not able to do that, that becomes a huge, huge part of your job. And when I was in the company before Kellogg's, when I very first joined, one of my peers was talking about somebody in my IT team that I'd picked up. And they said, oh, not very good. You probably won't really last in the company. And I always start with a clean slate. So everybody gets, you know, the same starting point and they've got my trust, and they can prove themselves to me or not. And this person that they talked about, I heard him on the phone talking to customers. I saw his work. And I thought, he's amazing. I don't recognize the person that's being described. And,
yeah,
and we chatted. I had a one-on-one and I told him how I appreciated his customer service and his communication skills and his technical skills. And he said, you know what? No one's ever told me they appreciated me before.
Again, touching on you as an individual, what do you think the secret to your success has been?
You might get the idea, and I quite like sayings, but there's a saying that is, the harder you work, the luckier you get. Got to work really, really hard. You know,
yeah,
I screwed my A-levels up, right? And I'm not highly educated. However, I've always worked really, really hard. So work really hard. Don't say no if you get offered an opportunity. Don't say no because you think you can't deliver. If people are giving you an opportunity, it's because they believe in you. They're prepared to back you for success, not, let's give Claire this opportunity and watch her fail. Said nobody ever.
Yeah.
Like, let's give Claire this opportunity and support her so that she's successful and it helps her to grow and develop. So if somebody offers you an opportunity, lean in and grab it. Look for those opportunities where you can stretch yourself, where you can become visible. Being visible is really important. So the power of networks. We did a little bit of work using some of the tools that we've got around the most networked people are the most successful people in their careers. So, you know, high performing people with a lot of potential actually are the best networked. Now, cause and effect, I don't know which way around it comes. Don't be afraid of using your network for introductions.
Yeah.
You can get what you get on your own merits, but use the power of a network for introductions. finally, I would say empathy. We talked about putting yourself in someone's shoes. Have empathy and always consider where the other person is coming from. Why do they feel the way they feel? Why are they saying what they're saying? Why are they reacting the way they're reacting? Yeah. What's the behaviour behind the behaviour? And I think that really helps you to be better, a better leader, a better technologist, deliver better results. So empathy, I think, is key to everything.
Yeah, and the importance of emotional intelligence, I guess, is huge, huge. Yeah. And just picking up on one point you mentioned within there was, you know, go in for those opportunities. And I think, I don't want to stereotype, but often women, you know, sometimes, you know, thinking about myself and my own personal experiences, maybe can be a bit less confident in certain occasions or situations. And, you know, I've heard stats out there around women will wait until they're 150% ready to go for that promotion. And maybe men will be more inclined to push themselves harder. Does that resonate with you? And if it does, what would be just one final tip that you'd give to anybody out there who's maybe struggling with confidence or holding themselves back?
Yeah, it doesn't. I see it. I didn't suffer. Don't get me wrong. I suffer from imposter syndrome, like the same as anybody else does. I didn't suffer from the I'm not quite ready, so I'm not going to go for it. I would just throw myself into things gung ho. But I see other people holding themselves back. So my final piece of advice would be, go for it, back yourself. You've got to back yourself. If you want other people to trust you and back you, it has to start with you. And if that means writing down the skills that you've got to convince yourself and get it straight in your head, write down the skills that you've got, write down the skills that you've not got. Are you prepared to put the effort in to learn the skills that you've not got? I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this podcast, the answer to that is going to be yes. You can do it, because if you're 100% ready for a role or an opportunity, it's not the right role for you, because it's not going to help you grow and develop. So back yourself and go for it. You're not going to regret what you go for.
Thanks so much, Leslie.
You're most welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Amazing.